Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Horace C. Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church, and it is my esteemed privilege and honor to share with you tonight the word of the living God. The Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome tonight. Today is November the 16th. Can't believe that we are flying to the end of this year in such a rapid pace. But here we are in the middle of November, the next to the last month of the year, and God has been incredible. We're going to begin at this time with a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. We've got so much to share tonight. We don't want to delay any further. Would you bow your heads with us at this time as you go before the throne of grace, acknowledging God and asking for his divine presence to fill this place in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we honor your presence this night and we come before you with grateful hearts, recognizing your sovereignty, recognizing your majesty, grateful for your immutability. We thank you that you're a God that changeth not. We thank you, Lord, that your word is forever settled in heaven, and tonight we desire to feast on it. Oh, God, thank you that the table is spread and that the feast of the Lord is going on. Thank you that we can be nourished and strengthened. Our faith can grow through your word. Our understanding can grow through your word. We can be transformed by the renewing of our minds because of the power of your word at work. Lord, we ask that you would move tonight in such a way that the word, as it were, would leap off of the page and into our hearts, that we would be blessed through revelation knowledge, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we might know the rich treasures that belong to us as are outlined in your word. The word, oh God, your word is spirit. Your word is alive. Your word is sharp. Your word is life-giving. And so tonight, let that life abound within us. Let that life, Lord God, resonate within us and bless the listeners, bless those that are with us now and those that will listen to this recording after, that your presence would affect them in such a way that they might say, what must I do to be saved? For those that don't yet know you, and for those that do, that they would hold fast to the profession of their faith without wavering, knowing that you are faithful who hath promised it. Hey, God, bless us tonight, that we won't forget to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Let's get right into it. Please let me know if you're able to see the screen for those that are with us right now. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. And we want you to know this is a passage of scripture that the Lord has really put on our hearts tonight. Well, not just for tonight, but for the last couple of weeks, this has been really stirring in my spirit as it relates to what God wants me to do with you all, to share with you. Jeremiah 3 and 15. The Bible declares from this passage of scripture, again, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, and I will give you shepherds according to my own heart, who will feed you knowledge and understanding. I will give you, and I will give you shepherds according to my own heart. My God, this is not something that somebody is conjuring up. He's giving you shepherds or pastors according to his own heart who will feed you knowledge and understanding. This is my joy and my delight. Let's dig in. Tonight, again, November 16th, 2021, positive confessions which lead to the praise life, part 3. Faith has a language. faith has a language. If we are to be what God wants us to be, we've got to learn how to speak His language. If we are to be what God wants us to be, we've got to learn to agree with Him. You will remember Amos says, "How shall two walk together except they be agreed?" And so we want to align ourselves without any reservation with the words of the prophet, because it is those words that will bless our life forever. We're not afraid to say what God gives us. We're not afraid to let the Lord be glorified through what comes out of our mouth. Oh no, because God's word is everything we need. The word of the Lord says, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." Faith, beloved, faith has a language. Let's be clear on it. And I need someone to read. We need our readers to get ready to jump in right now. I will read. God bless you, Dr. Marbury. Faith has a language. This is the foundation scripture for our lesson tonight, Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. Again, Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. Dr. Marbury, please.
Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, "So shall thy seed be." And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that which he had promised, he was able also to perform.
Thank you very much, Dr. Marbury. If you are going to go anywhere with God, you can only go there by faith. You can only go there by faith. God is not impressed with our emotions. He's not taken by any kind of gyrations, jumping, shouting, crying, rolling on the floor. Those things don't move God. God is moved by faith. It is faith that is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. By it, we know that the worlds were made by the word of God, so that the things that do appear were made by things that you don't see. God's word put life into this universe. God's word put growth into this universe. God's word brought light where there was darkness and life where there was none. And I promise you, when you embrace the promise of God, it's not enough to embrace it. You've got to learn to not give up. This is where the language of faith comes in. It's one thing to rejoice in the promise, but it's another thing to endure through the process. It's one thing to rejoice in the promise. You should rejoice, for all the promises of God are yes and amen, but it's another thing to endure through the process. Faith is necessary to endure, my brother. Faith is necessary to endure, my sister. In the foundation text, it speaks of Abraham who believed God, and the situation some of you already know. Abraham was made a promise by God that Abraham would have a son. Abraham got to 100. Sarah got to 90. They were way too old in the natural to be able to have this experience. But when God makes you a promise, time and age and human wherewithal are not the criteria upon which God will bless your life. God's criteria is faith in his word. Abraham was told that he was going to be a father of many nations, and the only thing he had to hold on to was God's word. He said, your seed shall be. And this was a seed that was to come through him and Sarah, not Hagar. Hagar was the handmaiden or the servant of Sarah, and the servant wasn't to be the vessel through which this blessing, this kingdom blessing, was going to come. Sarah was a part of that process. My God, Hagar was a substitute. Sarah was the real thing. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost on this line already. Hallelujah. Don't you abdicate your position for a substitute. Don't you relinquish your position because you can't see how God can make it work. I'm talking to a Sarah right now where God has made you a promise and it seems as if it's not going to come to pass. The devil is a liar. If God said it, it's going to come to pass. Abraham had to take the posture of holding on to God, holding on to the word. And those of you that will remember the Genesis account, when after God gave Abraham Isaac, Isaac was the promised seed, and God honored his word to Abraham, and Sarah had a child, name was Isaac. God told Abraham to take Isaac to a mountain and slay him. Now, you can only imagine the conundrum that this put Abraham in, because how was Isaac to be the seed through which nations would come if I'm going to kill him? And God showed up again. I'm sharing this with you because God will always show up when it seems like your back is up against the wall. Going back to our key text, verse 20, he said, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. He didn't stagger. His body was old. Sarah's womb was basically dead as far as all appearance was concerned. But the Bible says that Abraham staggered not. He didn't give up. He didn't get weak. He was tested, but he stood strong in faith, giving glory to God. And this is the power of the praise life. When you feel like your back is up against the wall and there's no way out, look at verse 21. It says, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. It's one thing to be excited about the promise. Get excited about it. Give God praise over it. You are the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. He will bless you going in and bless you coming out as you walk in obedience to his word. That Deuteronomy 28 chapter talks about blessings and cursings. And the first 14 verses, I believe it is, speak about the blessings that are connected with obedience. But the majority of Deuteronomy 28 talk about the consequences of disobedience. Read that for yourself. We're not going to go there. You can read that on your own and be edified by it. But you need to understand that God is looking for something, my brother. He's looking for something, my sister. And what he's looking for is faith. Faith has a language. I want you all tonight to get ready. We did something a little different last week, but I want you all to do something tonight. You do not have to unmute your line, but as I bring the confessions up, I need you to open your mouth and confess it again. You don't have to unmute yourself, but as these confessions come up, I want you to say it out of your mouth. Ready, set, go. God is who he says he is. I want you to say it out of your mouth. God has what God says he has. I want you to say that out of your mouth. God can do what God says he can do. I want you to say that out of your mouth. I am who God says I am. I want you to say that out of your mouth. I have what God says I have. I want you to declare that out of your mouth. And I can do what God says I can do. Declare that out of your mouth, my brother. Declare that out of your mouth, my sister. This is a process that we are learning to develop so that we are transformed. We are learning it so that we can develop and be transformed. We went through the professions that related to God, his identity, his wherewithal, his ability. And last week we ended up here where we talked about the confessions for the believer as it relates to the believer. We dealt with the confessions as they relate to God. And this week we will continue with the confessions as they relate to the believer. We ended off with the first confession. And so today we're going to jump into the second confession. I have what God says I have. I need some readers to get queued up because we're going to do some reading tonight. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Please put in the chat the verse that you will read. I need volunteers to be snappy. In the name of the Lord, again, we are dealing with the three confessions that relate to the believer. Last week, we dealt with the three confessions that relate to God, the three positive confessions that relate to God. And we did the first of three for the believer. Today, we are going to continue with the second of the three confessions, positive confessions that relate to the believer. I need a reader for Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I need a reader for Romans chapter 8, verse 15. I need a reader. Amen. Sister Charisse Jones is going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jones. I need someone for Acts chapter 1, verse 8 and Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Let's be snappy. Let's be snappy. Amen. I can't wait all night. I'm going to go ahead. Y'all can catch up with me later. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Go ahead, brother. Junior Deacon Austin.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Thank you. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Let's understand that God wants his body, the church, to be empowered. And this empowerment is not based upon human ability. It's based upon supernatural ability. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is God at work in us, both to will, to do of his own pleasure. And the power comes after you have the Holy Ghost. You don't get the power before. You get the power once the Holy Ghost comes. You shall receive power. Power. This is power to live right, power to walk right, and power to get your language together. The positive confession that's part of the faith life, this faith language. The power of the Holy Spirit is what gives us the power to talk the Word of God. It's not because we memorize it. When you speak God's word from memory, that's one thing. But when you speak God's word from the basis of faith, that's a whole different story. And I want you all tonight to meditate upon these words so that your articulation is not one from memory, but your articulation is one based upon divine power, the power of faith. You shall receive wit, you shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses. This is what you have. You have the power to witness. Come on, somebody. You have the power to witness. If there's anything you have the power to do that this text points to, it is the power to be effective witnesses. You cannot effectively witness concerning the life transformation that takes place when you submit yourself to God, unless you have been there yourself. This power People think about this term power and they use it for a whole lot of stuff. The most important thing, though, is that you have the power to be a witness, a living witness of the power of God. It should be in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. When you look at those locations on the map, it's an ever-expanding circle, an ever-expanding geography. And we see that it's not just to those locales, but to the uttermost part of the earth. Thank you so much. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. I think Sister Charisse is going to read that.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Thank you, Missionary Jones. It's important for you to understand what comes with the Holy Ghost, and it's important for you to understand what does not. Fear does not come with the Holy Ghost. Fear, bondage, that's not a part of the package from God. That's a part of the consequence of sin. That comes with sin. Once you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you don't have the spirit of bondage. You're not bound to sin. You're not bound to old habits. No, the devil is a liar. You are free. You are delivered. And it is not something that will happen over time. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the power of deliverance. You receive the power of liberty. The Bible says, now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Don't let anybody make you think that you have to grow in the Holy Ghost to learn how to walk in victory. Sure, you learn as you walk with God, but don't make a mistake about this. You have all the power you're going to get the moment you get the Holy Ghost. You have to learn how to use it. And as you learn how to use it, you become effective. But it's not that you get more power. It's that you learn how to use the power you already have. I know there's a song that says, learning to lean, learning to lean, learning to lean on Jesus. I'm finding more power than I've ever dreamed, learning to lean on Jesus. It's not because the power is growing. It's because the power is being exposed. Expose, express the power. Expose, express the power. Lord, have mercy. You need to put this in your notes. Faith, active faith, expresses the power of God. Active faith reveals it. It exposes it. And so the devil can't bind you when you know what you have. We have received the spirit of adoption. We are accepted. We are welcomed. We are beloved. That phrase, Abba, Father, is not a cry of desperation. It is a cry of affirmation and relationship. It's endearment. Abba, it's a term that is used endearingly toward a father. Abba, Abba. And sometimes it's the same, you know, it's the same way you might call somebody dad or daddy. It's used in as a term of endearment. And as a part of the body of Christ, as a part of the family of God, you need to know what you have. You've got position. You've got power. You've got status. Lord, have mercy. Praise the Lord. And none of these things point to fear or bondage. It's just the antithesis of it. When you get the Holy Ghost, you become free. When you get the Holy Ghost, you receive faith like never before. Faith over fear. My God, let's go on. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I have what God says I have. This is the second confession. Okay, let's go.
Hello. Oh, sorry about that. Good evening.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Oh, no. Read the whole thing, dear. Sister Alexander, come on back.
Hello. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Nope, no problem. Just read the whole verse.
I was doing something before I came on. Okay.
That's okay.
Ephesians chapter Hold on a minute. I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. Take your time. Take your time. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Come on, Day. I know you're here.
I rebuke Satan in Jesus' name.
Amen. Come on.
Ephesians chapter. I'm not perfect, Bishop Michael. I'm not perfect. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Here we go.
Go ahead.
From my Bible, sir. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you there. Blessed be the God and Father. When Paul writes to the saints at Ephesus, he is extolling God. He is lifting up the Lord. When you think about the things that God has given you and where he has positioned you in his body, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you can't help but get excited about thinking about God whenever you think about him. And so Paul, in this opening passage of the book of Ephesians, he writes this to the saints of God at Ephesus from a prison cell in Rome. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's important for you to understand, my brother and my sister, in the Holy Ghost, you are blessed. You are blessed. Galatians tells us that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We don't live under the curse. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we are blessed. We are blessed, and we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Everything that God has ordained for your life, it comes from him. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. So everything his word says for you blesses your spirit. It blesses your spirit to know you're forgiven. It blesses your spirit to know that you have been made free. Even when the enemy comes in an overwhelming fashion, you are blessed with the power of God to withstand the wiles of the devil, to withstand the stratagem or the strategies of the devil. You are blessed with security. You are blessed with identity. You are blessed with an anointing. You are blessed with the supply of God. He will supply all your needs. These spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in the heights of the presence of God. Heaven speaks of the presence of God. Being in his presence is being in heaven. And even now, we can experience these heavenly blessings through Christ Jesus. Right now, even on earth, my God, when we walk with God in fellowship, we are not waiting to be blessed when we get to heaven. We are experiencing heaven's blessings right here. Not all of them, but we are experiencing the blessings of heaven that we have capacity to experience right now. We don't have glorified bodies yet, but went here, glory to God. The Bible says, when we see him, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. Right now, we only have a foretaste of these spiritual blessings. But when the rapture takes place, my God, that's going to blow the top off the thing. Hallelujah. We will be transformed. We will be changed in a moment. We'll have bodies like Jesus did when he got up from the dead. Lord, have mercy. And you are going to find in that split moment, that split second, that everything you've had to go through is worth it. Every trial, every test, every difficulty, every heartbreak, every situation that almost pushed you to the edge, my God, it's not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. And when the rapture takes place, the glory of God will manifest upon you in such a way. No wonder they called it the rapture. it's going to be beyond what you can even think. It's going to blow our minds. And so Paul says, we're blessed right now. This blessed state is not reserved for when we die. We tap into it now. My God, you need to put this in your notes. I want to live tapped in to the blessings of the Lord. I want to live tapped in to the spiritual blessings that belong to me. This comes through the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, have mercy. Let's go on. The third confession, the third positive confession for that relates to the believer has to do with ability. It's this: I can do what God says I can do. I can do what God says I can do. I need a reader for Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 29. And I need a reader for Malachi. Oh, we got a reader for Malachi. Dr. Marbury, God bless you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. I need a reader again for Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 29. Let's go. Amen.
Has thou not known, has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, careth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength.
Amen. He fainteth not. He fainteth not. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, of the ends of the earth, fainteth not. His ability is incredible. And this is our source. His ability is incredible. And he is our source. He giveth power to the faint. Don't let the devil make you think that if you get to a place of weakness that you can't bounce back. God have mercy. Somebody needs to put that in their notes. The Holy Ghost gives you bounce back power. The Holy Ghost gives you power to bounce back. My God, my God, my God. The enemy wants you to think that it's over, but the Holy Ghost says, it ain't over till I say it's over. Hallelujah. And because you can do what God says you can do, he gives you the ability. He giveth power to the faint, to the strength. Power talks of strength, energy, vitality. The opposite of that is impotent. And so whereas he gives us potency, he takes away the weakness. He gives us power. We're not impotent. We are powerful. To them that have no might, he increases strength. It doesn't matter what your level is of gas in the tank. He knows how to fill the tank. He knows how to fill the tank. And the metaphor of that has to do with gas that moves the vehicle. You can have the most beautiful vehicle on the planet, but if you don't have power to move that vehicle, all you got is a shell. It is the gas or the electricity, however the motor is powered. That's what allows it to move forward. And tonight I'm talking to somebody and the Holy Ghost is saying, faith is the gas in the tank that causes you to move forward. You got to have faith in the tank. You got to have faith in the tank. He giveth power to the faint. Your faith is going to take you forward. And what? Your ability? Faith in the ability that God has given you. Faith in what God has put in you. Believing that what God says I can do it. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Dr. Marbury. Amen. Is she there?
Yes.
Okay.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Thank you. What is important is that you understand how you prosper in God. You prosper according to your faith. So what do I do with my faith? How do I exercise faith in this area? Well, his word says to tithe. Tithe is honoring God in an offering of 10% of your increase. In the days of the Old Testament, they were a people that were people of the land, people that were farmers, or they were herdsmen. And so they gave to God from their crops, from their harvest, or from their herds. And these were the things that they gave to God, to the priest at the temple, to honor God. They gave a tithe. They gave one-tenth. In our economy, our monetary system, or what we use for exchange or barter, is currency. And so in our economy, what the Lord is looking for us to do is to honor him with one-tenth of our income. Now, you may be a farmer, you might be a herdsman, and if you have that as part of your economic stability and growth, then God bless you, because there are people that have farms, there are people that have cattle, there are people that raise chickens and animals and other things of that nature. And so it doesn't matter whatever it is that's a part of your income. What you honor God with is one-tenth of it. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. This is how the ministry of the church is supported. All of the operations of the ministry is supported by the tithe of the congregation. Free will offerings are also able to be given, but the tithe is key. Free will offerings are what you give above the tithe. It's a free will offering. The tithe, God expects your tithe. He cannot bless you unless you honor his word in this area. You've got to understand that the children of God in this text were accused of robbing God. And the prophet rose up to bring correction to the people, because they did not honor God with the tithes and the offering. They kept it to themselves. They did what they thought they wanted they could do with it. And this tenth is sacred. It's holy unto the Lord. The truth of the matter is, everything belongs to him. The whole 100% belongs to him. But he is seeking our obedience and our walk of faith in honoring him with the tenth. And then to pray that he will give you wisdom with how you manage the 90%. Because again, he's going to hold us accountable for the whole lot, the whole lot. And so bring ye all your tithes into the storehouse. You need to be careful about asking God to increase you financially and you don't tithe. That ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. You can ask God to open up a financial miracle or do this for you, but if you don't honor him with the tithe, he can't bless you because you're a thief. Oh, God. When you read Malachi chapter, this same chapter, chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says that you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even the whole nation, they were cursed. It's a curse. You can rob candy, a cookie out of the cookie jar, but you don't want to rob God, because God is the source of your supply. And if you rob the source, How can you be blessed? It has to go to God. And so he says, bring all of it to the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith. You are challenged. Your faith is put to the test. He says, prove me with this and see if I will not open you the windows of heaven. The windows of heaven is metaphor for bounty, plenty, a treasure, and pour you out a blessing out of the bounty, out of the fullness, out of the treasure house, that there'll be not room enough to receive it. This is what the Lord says he will do. Can you honor him with the tithes? Absolutely. Stop saying you can't do this. You've got to wait till the next pay period. You got to wait till the next piece of money come in. I can't do it because I got to do this. I can't do it because I got to do that. The devil is a liar. You absolutely can honor God with the 10% of your income, because the truth of the matter is you want him to breathe on the 90, not blow on it. And you don't honor him with the 10th, you'll find that there'll be challenges financially. And it may not be the fact that you're with the salary, but you may be surprised at how that salary gets consumed by stuff. And you're wondering, where is my money going? I just got paid. What happened to my money? It's like it comes in one pocket and it falls out of the pocket because the pocket's got holes in it. Lord, have mercy. And you got to understand that the Lord is watching over his word to bless you. He's watching over his word to give you increase. And you've got to honor him by faith. I know it'll take faith, but that's okay. God blesses faith, and you can do it. Let's go on. I want you to see something here, because this is powerful. Those who seek after God will praise him. Those that seek after him will praise him. You will do something when you are moving in the direction of God. It's going to cause you to do something. And what that is going to cause you to praise him. Psalm 22, verse 6. We've got it here in the King James Version, the Living Bible Translation, the Amplified, and the Message. I need some readers to come on. King James, Living Bible, Amplified, the Message. I need four people to come on and read this real quick. Well, maybe a little quicker than that. Come on. Okay. King James, Sister Lynette, Living Bible, Sister Claudia, Message, Sister Marbury, and Sister Jones, you can take the Amplified. Okay, let's go.
Yes, so good evening, everybody. Okay, King James Version, Psalms 22, verse 6, correct?
Yes, Psalms 22, okay. Verse 6. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I am a worm and no man.
Psalm 22, verse 6.
I am reading Psalm 22. I mean, from my Bible.
Did I get that real? No, you may be reading it right. I might have got it. I might have put it there wrong.
It says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, a despiser of the people. That's what Psalm 22, verse 6 says.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah. No. Maybe let's go to 26. Okay. Let's go to 26, Psalm 26.
That's funny.
Praise the name of God. Let's just read it off my screen, please. I'll let you know where the reference is in a minute. Read it off the screen.
Okay. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. Mm-hmm. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, dear. I think it's actually 22, verse 26. Psalm 22, verse 26. So let's make that correction straight away. Psalms 22, verse 26. Praise the name of God. Amen. All right, here we go. Thank you so much, Sister Lynette. Okay, let's get back on track. So we've got the Living Bible Translation. Sister Claudia, please read that. And then Sister Charisse, the Amplified, and then Dr. Marbury, the Message Translation, please.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. All who seek the Lord shall find him and shall praise his name. Their hearts shall rejoice with everlasting joy.
Thank you. Amen. Amplified.
The afflicted will eat and be satisfied. Those who diligently seek him and require him as their greatest need will praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever.
Thank you. And Dr. Marbury, the Message Translation.
Here in this great gathering for worship, I have discovered this praise life. And I'll do what I promised right here in front of the God worshipers. Down and outers sit at God's table and eat their full. Everyone on the hunt for God is here, praising him. Live it up from head to toe. Don't ever quit.
I love these translations with this passage of scripture. And I want you to understand the fervency behind this phrase or behind this verse. You'll notice the exclamation points. That emphasizes what's being said because it underscores the power. It expresses the emotion. And so the psalmist is saying that there's an attitude that those that seek the Lord will have. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. The poor, the afflicted, those that are gathered for worship. There's something that's about to take place. And in my spirit, I'm leaping and jumping because we are gathered tonight. The Message translation of this passage, Psalm 22, verse 26, is the one that really did it for me. But we're going to get there in a minute. But the thing about this is because faith has a language, faith governs our lives, and it causes us to seek after God. When you are looking for something, you know, we're going into the season of holiday gift giving. And people go crazy sometimes when it comes down to these holiday shoppers. They'll go in and sometimes they'll have these doorbuster sales and all this other kind of stuff. And you see people acting like they've just lost their mind. They're going in the stores, almost stampeding, trying to get this, trying to get that. And can you imagine for a moment if that was our attitude toward God? Stampeding into the house of God, coming in with fervency, seeking the thing that matters most. And that thing is not a thing, it's a person, and that person is God. The passion that is wrapped up in that kind of pursuit. And so the psalmist talks about seeking after God. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. You're not seeking him in despair or without expectation for fulfillment. There's a joy. There's an expectation. And so the psalmist says, they that seek the Lord shall praise him. Your heart shall live forever. There's a turnaround that's about to take place. There's a change that's coming. And it's like you're getting close. You're getting close. You know, we used to play a game where somebody would say, if you're far away from the object that was hidden, you're cold, you're freezing, you're frozen. But when you get closer, 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 they say you're getting warmer, you're getting warmer. Oh, you're getting hot. Oh, you're burning up because you're getting closer. And I want our spirit and our soul to be on fire for God. And this fire talks about drawing near, drawing near, drawing near. Those who diligently seek him, those who seek him as their greatest need, they'll praise the Lord because they know that their search will result in something great. You cannot pursue God and be disappointed. No one that pursues God is ever disappointed. thou wilt show me the path of life. In your presence, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. I love this last translation, the Message translation. Here in this great gathering of worship, for worship, I have discovered this praise life. You know, worship does something to your heart, causes you to recognize God. When you recognize God, you can't help but praise him. And I'll do what I promise right here in front of the God worshipers. I'm not waiting to do this in private. I'm not doing this in seclusion. I don't mind getting up and giving them praise. Down and outer, sit at God's table and eat their fill. It's just that it's a change that takes place. And so that even those that may feel that they're not accepted, when it comes to sitting at the table of God, you are. Somebody listening to this tonight needs to know that God's table, there's a space for you at the table. Mm-hmm. And God wants you to come and dine. He wants you to come and sit and receive your fill, receive your full. Everyone on the hunt for God is here, praising him. Live it up from head to toe. Don't ever quit. Keep on seeking after God. Let's go. In this lesson that faith has a language, I want you to understand what distinguishes us from fear. Praise distinguishes those who walk by faith. Let's jump in and get some readers to read this up real quick. Psalm 34, verse 1 and 3. Psalm 107, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 147, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 through 15. I'll read the list again, particularly for those that are listening without seeing. Praise distinguishes those who walk by faith. You don't have to look hard to see who the people that are really walking by faith are. They are distinguished by their speech. They're distinguished by their praise. Psalm 34, verse 1 through 3. Psalm 107, verse 1 through 2, Psalm 147, verse 1, and Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 through 15, Psalm 34, verse 1 through 3. Sister Lynette, let's go.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready this time, everybody. I'm ready. Okay, Psalm 34, verse 1 through 3, in King James Version. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen.
Thank you so much. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. This is what your praise does. Your praise distinguishes you. It sets you apart. Oh, God. When the circumstance wants to overwhelm you, praise lifts you above it. My God. Psalm 107. Who's got Psalm 107? I don't see anybody in the queue that called out for that.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
It's wonderful to know that God is good. His nature is good. His love toward us is good. As a matter of fact, when we think about God in the context, even Malachi, that Malachi chapter 3 has a lot to say to us. Malachi chapter 3, it also tells us, I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord, I change not. He's good. He's not going to change how he is to us. He loves us. He cares for us. He forgives us. He strengthens us. He does for us. He makes us better. Oh, God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. the redeemed. The word redeem means to buy back. And in this case, we're talking about being bought back from where we were sold into. We were sold into spiritual slavery by Adam's fall in the garden. He relinquished not only his authority, but he relinquished his position because, as you will remember, he was kicked out of the garden. Sin expels you from the blessings of God. It expelled Adam and Eve from the very presence of God. They could not stay there. They sold out. They were sellouts. They sold them their position for a piece of fruit. Oh, God. They sold their position of power and authority for something that lasts but a moment. Come on, somebody. Don't you dare give up your position of power and holiness for a moment's feeling of something. My God, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I'm sorry if I'm coming across on the mic a little loud, but I'm feeling something in my spirit. You've got to understand the weight and the substance of your place in God. The weight and the substance of your place in God. For those that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are in a place of power. You were in a place of freedom. You have been redeemed. You have been brought back. The price of your redemption price, you were redeemed. You were bought back by God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, by Jesus taking our place of guilt, sin, and shame, and giving us a place of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We have been redeemed. And so, when you know you've been redeemed, you don't call yourself a worm. When you know you've been redeemed, you don't accept being called a sinner. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're a saint. You got to live it, but you are it. When a person is born into a family, that person takes on that name. Now, that name may reflect a certain character. It may have a certain status to it. It may have certain clout and influence. And if they don't live up to the name, that's their loss. But the power of the name remains. They are still whatever that name is. Praise the name of God. And so as a redeemed believer, as a spirit-filled believer, I want to encourage you to live up to the name. Live up to the name. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The devil thought he had you, but the redemption price, the blood of Jesus, has brought you back to God. Oh, God, Psalm 147. I'm really getting so excited about this. Come on, we got to get through this lesson. Psalm 147, verse 1.
Now, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely.
Amen. That's right. You should sing some praises. Come on. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 12 through 15.
Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continuously. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
What's important to grasp in this passage that the Apostle Paul shares with us? Thank you, readers. Thank you, one and all. Christ became a sacrifice. In the Old Testament, when the sacrifices were slain, the scapegoat, the priest would lay his hand upon the head of the scapegoat and release the scapegoat outside of the camp. For all intents and purposes, it went out into the woods. And it was never seen again because it was offered up unto God as a sacrifice and it was slain. The scapegoat took the blame. and the blame ran out of the camp, ran out from the city limits, as it were. It went out and never came back. The Apostle Paul is telling us that when Jesus was crucified for us, he, as the scapegoat, was slain outside the city gates. It was on a hill, Golgotha, Calvary, Mount Calvary, where the Lord Jesus was slain, not in the city gates, but outside the city. The Apostle Paul is saying, we've got to understand that if we're going to identify with Christ, that we have to embrace the idea of even our suffering. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. He was not esteemed. The Bible says that surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. His sacrifice was a defaming sacrifice. It was humiliating. It was atrocious. It was bloody. It was despicable, but he endured it. Now, verse 14, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Understand that where we are in this world is not our home. We follow after him. Some songwriter put the words together, where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I will follow where he leadeth. I will pasture where he feedeth. I will follow all the way, Lord. I will follow Jesus every day. And if this means that I've got to go through a path of suffering, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for he is with me. This experience is distinguished by the fact that in spite of what we face, we give God praise. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually by what Christ has done, focusing on the finished work of Calvary, focusing on what Christ had endured for us. Yes, he suffered. Yes, he bled. Yes, he died, but he became a sacrifice for us. Woo, he that knew no sin became sin for us so that we could be saved. That's enough to praise God for right there by itself. That you can, if you close your eyes tonight and you pass into glory, you pass into eternity, that you're not passing into judgment, but you're passing on to glory. You close your eyes on this side and you awake in his presence to be changed into his likeness. Oh, what a joy, what a reason to give God praise. And Paul says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes praise isn't easy. It doesn't always come in the context of ease and things going our way. Sometimes this praise has to be birthed through trial, birthed through suffering, birthed through the test when the enemy comes in like a flood to try to overwhelm us. And so, beloved, as we wrap up this lesson tonight, I want you to understand that your praise is a weapon. Your praise is a weapon. We don't have time to read all of this, but I want you to make a note of it. Your praise is a weapon, part one. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 20 through 25. I'm going to say that again. Your praise is a weapon, part one. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 20 through 25. Ah, God. Your praise is a weapon, part two. Acts chapter 16, verse 22 through 30. Your praise is a weapon, part two. Acts chapter 16, verse 22 through 30. The one thing I want to make a note of here that happened that's very powerful. Not only did God respond to Paul and Silas's prayer and praises. But verse 30, you'll see that the jailer was so affected by what he saw and experienced of the faith of Paul and Silas that he asked the questions, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Your faith in God and your praise unto God is so powerful that not only can it affect deliverance and a blessing for you, but those that are around you that witness the hand of God in response to your praise can be delivered as well. Let's understand as we posture ourselves tonight, that God is about to do something for you and through you. This lesson of faith having a language, this lesson is one that I want you to incorporate in your prayer, in your praise, so you can see the power. Let's take the truths that we've learned for these last three lessons and turn it into power. Let's take the truths that we've learned tonight and let's turn it into power for the hour. We are about to go before the Lord in prayer. Our prayer leaders will come. The prayer intercessory leader for the men, prayer intercessory leader for the women, prayer intercessory leader for the young people. I want you to understand that glory is about to be released over somebody's life. God is about to take that pain through your praise and turn it into power. There is a change. And I know that weeping may endure for the night. Sometimes we do cry, but joy is about to come. Some home is about to see the hand of God like never before. Somebody is hungry for the more of God. And tonight, let us pray with passion. Let us pray with fervency. Let us pray with purpose as we go forth incorporating this lesson into the intercessory prayer. I will decrease that the prayer leaders can increase. Let's take us in. Take us to the throne of grace in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we lift up your name on high. Hallelujah. We lift up your name tonight, Lord Jesus. You are worthy, so worthy to be praised, Lord. Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun, Lord God, to the going down of the same. That name, Jesus, that's above every name, is worthy to be praised. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord God, for loving us the way that you do, Lord God. We thank you tonight, Lord God, for giving us second, third, fourth, sixth, seventh, 10th, 20th, 50th chances, Lord God. But you didn't have to, Lord. We thank you tonight, Lord God, for keeping your hand upon our lives, Lord God. We thank you tonight, Lord, for keeping us safe, Lord God, in the safety of your arms. We thank you, Lord God, for keeping us in our right minds tonight, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that we can open up our mouths with the fruit of our lips and give your name praise, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. That we can say hallelujah. We can give you the highest praise, Lord God, that you so richly deserve. We thank you tonight, Lord God, that you've never leaving us, that you haven't left us. You haven't forsaken us, Lord God. You haven't left us for dead, Lord God. We thank that you haven't abandoned us, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, when so many people abandon us, when so many people leave us, when so many people have want nothing to do with us, Lord God, you've stuck, continued to stick by our sides, Lord God. And for that, we give you praise, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, we just say thank you tonight, Lord God, for being such an awesome God on our lives. We say thank you tonight, Lord God, for going to the cross for us. We say thank you tonight, Jesus, for shedding your precious blood upon Calvary for us, Lord God. We say thank you tonight, Jesus, that you are coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. We say thank you tonight that, Lord, that if we put our trust and our faith and our hope in you, Lord God, if we are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the water, baptized by your Spirit, Lord God, we shall reign with you forever. We thank you, Lord God, for that promise. But Lord, we can do nothing without you. We can do nothing without you. We can do nothing, Lord God, without you. So we thank you tonight, Lord God. We give your name praise, Lord God, for being the awesome God that you are, for being our King and our Savior. We say thank you tonight, Lord God. We even say thank you right now, Lord God, for our Bishop, Lord God. We ask, Lord, right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, to continue to touch him, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for healing him, the countless times that you healed him, Lord. We say thank you, Lord God. We ask you to continue to strengthen him in his mind. Strengthen him in his heart for you, Lord God. Strengthen him in his body, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we say thank you tonight, Lord God, that I know he is not a perfect man, but we thank you, Lord God, that he is a man after your own heart, Lord God. We say thank you tonight, Lord God. We say thank you tonight, Lord God, for the missionaries, the young people. We thank you for all that's on the line tonight, Lord God. We need you, Lord God, right now. We need you in this very hour, Lord God. There's so many. I know the prayer is supposed to be for the men. And Lord, look upon the men. Look upon the men, Lord God. Men want to turn their backs, but Lord, prick their hearts. Men want to walk away, but encourage them. Men want to give up, Lord. But Lord, you don't give up on us, Lord. You haven't given up on us. And as long as we have breath in our bodies, we can come to you, Lord God. We can boldly come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. So I'm asking you to have mercy upon the men tonight, Lord. Have mercy on every man. Have mercy on those who are hurting in their hearts, Lord, that you will heal them, that they come back to you. Lord, have mercy on those who are dealing with addictions, Lord God, that you will have mercy upon them, Lord God, and they will choose to give it over to you, Lord God, so they can come back to you. Lord, even have mercy on those who might be abusers, Lord God, that, Lord, that you will show them the error of their ways, Lord God, that they will turn their lives over to you, Lord God. Lord, have mercy on those who are depressed, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, who feel that they have no hope, Lord God, that they feel that they may even want to commit suicide, Lord God. Have mercy on them right now, Lord God. Touch them in the heart right now, Lord. Touch them in the very depths of their soul right now, Lord God, that they may give their lives to you, Lord God. We know the enemy that is coming after men. If you cut off the head, everything else will scatter. But Lord, we know you are more powerful than the enemy. We know the enemy only has a moment left before he's at the end of it all, that he's thrown into the lake of fire. So he's trying to do whatever he can now. But Lord, you're greater than that. So much greater than that. And we say thank you tonight, Lord God, again for being that awesome God. Lord, strengthen our faith in you. We know faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We may not understand. We might not know, but Lord, teach us, Lord. Teach us to have faith in you, that to trust you with all our heart, and lean not unto our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you, the King of this very universe. And if we do that, Lord, we promised that you would direct our path. Lord, without faith, it is impossible to please you, Lord. And we want to be pleasing in your sight. Help us, Lord God, that we can be pleasing in your sight, Lord. Lord, thank you. Forgive us, Lord, for things said, done, and thought that weren't pleasing unto you. Forgive us, Lord. Purge us with fire if you must, Lord God. Help us in whatever area we need help in. Whatever you have to do. If we're embattled in pornography, we're embattled in drinking. Whatever we're in, Lord God, do whatever you have to do to pull us out more. Because we have to give an account. We have to give an account. And we are in the last days, Lord. So I pray right now, Lord, for the men, Lord God, that they will freely give their lives to you, for those that have it, and for those who are in Christ, that we stay in Christ, and that we are not swayed by the ways of the world, but we continue to embrace you, we continue to praise you, we continue to glorify you, we continue to lift up your holy and your righteous name. Lord, we thank you tonight for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love, Lord. Lord, we can do nothing without you. Lord, we love you tonight. And we won't forget to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, because it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The intercessor for the women tonight.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, Father, you are worthy, oh God, to be praised, to be lifted up, to be exalted, oh God. And even now, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for this day. I thank you, Lord God, for the lesson, dear God, that we have learned on tonight, oh God. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing in the lives of your people, oh God. Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you will continue to increase the faith of your women, oh God. Oh, Father, Lord Jesus, right now in the name of Jesus, we pray, God, that you would have your way in each and every one of our lives, oh God. Father, Lord God, for you said, dear God, I am who you say I am, oh God. We are who you say we are, oh God. We have what you say that we have. We can do what you say we can do. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that your woman, oh God, would stand on your word, oh God. That, oh Father, that even in every situation, dear God, that we will believe you and trust you and know, dear God, that if you said it, it shall be done. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you would touch each and every one from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, oh God. Father, you promise in your word, oh God, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And oh God, we believe in your word. We trust in you, oh Heavenly Father. And right now, dear God, you said that our praise is a weapon. And oh God, we pray, God, that in every situation we will give you praise like never before. Oh Father, we praise you for things that we haven't seen already. We praise you, oh God, for situations that we know, dear God, that you are going to take us out of. We praise you for things, dear God, that we do not see right now, but believe and trust you that you will make a way, oh God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, for increase of faith, oh God, in your people, oh God. For, oh Lord, we lean upon you, oh God. Father, dear God, for there's no good thing will you withhold from those that walk uprightly. And, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, God, that you will have mercy on our soul, oh God. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, you are God. You are God. Hallelujah. And we trust you. And we believe in you, oh God, even now in the name of Jesus.
Have your way, oh God, for you know what everyone is going through, oh God. You know, dear God, the nights, dear God, when the tears are flowing, oh God. When, oh God, that we don't know the next step, hallelujah. But you, oh God, want us to trust in you and believe in you, hallelujah, that you will make a way when there seems to be no way. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you would touch each and every heart, oh God, even those, dear God, that may be discouraged right now. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would take away every single disappointment in the name of Jesus. And, oh God, that we will look to you, oh God, knowing, dear God, that you are able, oh Father. Father, let us lean upon your word like never before. Hallelujah. Oh God, and look to you no matter what. Hallelujah. We pray, God, that you would have mercy, oh God, for the times when we did not trust you. Oh God, we pray, dear God, and thank you, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Ghost is giving us power to move forward. Hallelujah. To not stay behind and not be discouraged and not stay in our hurt, oh God. But you're giving us the strength to go on. Hallelujah. You've given us the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Within each and every one of us. That, oh God, that when we fall, oh God, and when we go down there, Father, that you are able to pick us up, oh God, from that depth, oh God, that we were in, oh God. You are able to pick us up and to bring us to the place that we need to be in. Hallelujah. Let us not stay in the past. Let us not stay in our iniquity, oh God. Let us not stay in thinking backwards, oh God, but help us, dear God, to think forward, to move forward, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you would touch the heart of each and every one, dear God. Oh, hallelujah, that your Holy Ghost will continue to remind us each and every day as we move forward, oh God, to keep going forward and not to look back. Hallelujah. For, oh God, let us look forward, oh God, for there's newness that's forward. Hallelujah. There's things in front of us, dear God, that you want to do in our lives, oh God. Help us, dear God, even, oh God, when we're paying our tithes, oh God, to not be selfish and to not be a thief, oh God. But help us, dear God, to look to your word and to trust you, even with our substance, oh God. Help us to trust you. Help us to look to you. Help us not to think about our bills and everything else that need to be paid. They need to be paid, but you said that if we put you first, hallelujah, all these other things shall be added, oh God. Help us, dear God, in every situation that we put you first in our life, oh God. Father, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, you're taking us, dear God, to another level in you, oh God, that our eyes will be opened, dear God, for that miracle signs and wonders can be performed, oh God. And in the name of Jesus, we trust you and we look to you. Help us, dear God, to not lean upon our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you, hallelujah, and you shall direct our path. Oh, Father, help, oh God, each and every one of us to think, oh God, the way you want us to think, dear God, so that we can see your power and we can see your anointed. And, oh God, that every single yoke shall be destroyed, oh God, and that you, oh God, will be glorified, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, right now, hallelujah, we lead to you. Oh, Lord, have your way in our lives, oh God. Let us not have that simple thinking, oh God, but let us have that thinking that you can do all things, hallelujah. For, oh God, you said that, God, that our Savior is coming, and that when he came, dear God, the miracles that he has done, we shall do even greater, oh God. Let us see your things come to pass. Let them come to pass. Let your miracles, signs, and wonders come to pass. Father, we call out to you. Father, we reach out to you. Let us not be simple-minded, oh God, but let us trust in you and believe in you. Increase the faith of your people, oh God, in the name of Jesus. for we look to you and we thank you, Lord, because you're doing so much, hallelujah, in the lives of your people. Oh God, you know the needs of your people. And we pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would meet everyone at their point of need, oh God. In the name of Jesus, rise up, hallelujah, rise up in each and every one of us, oh God. Oh, help us, dear God, that we would not think, oh God, mediocre, oh God, but we will think of you and the power that you have given within each and every one of us. Power, oh God, over all things, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Power that you will move in the lives of your people. Power that you go in each and every home, oh God, and destroy every yoke of bondage in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus, we reach out to you, Lord. You are a miracle worker. You've done it before and you'll do it again, oh God. Hallelujah. And we thank you and we praise you and we lift you up even now, dear God, because you can do it. You can touch the lives of your people, of your people's families, oh God. You can touch their lives, oh God. And oh God, we believe you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, have your way, God. We thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, you are worthy. Hallelujah. You are worthy. Hallelujah. When we go through, our praise is the weapon, hallelujah, that makes the enemy flee in the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now, oh God, in Jesus' name. We give you praise and honor. Have your way. Hallelujah. Hey, God.
Glory to God, our intercessor for thy young people, the intercessor for the young people, in Jesus' name. Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, tonight we come before you with grateful hearts. We are thankful, Lord God, that you watch over us from generation to generation to generation. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that your faithfulness has been proven from generation to generation. And Lord God, even now we stand together in agreement for our young people. We come against every weapon the enemy has formed against them, and we come against it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we pray over our young people tonight that your hand of mercy would prevail on their behalf. Lord God, that you will preserve them and protect them from influences, Lord God, that would seek to take them away from you, that you will help them to understand and know that greater is he that is even in children than he that is in the world. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. You told us tonight, Lord God, even through your word, that we ought to give you praise. We ought to give you the sacrifice of praise, oh God, and we ask you tonight that our young people would be transformed even by the word of praise, Lord God, that they will understand the joy that comes from honoring you in the midst of their trials, in the midst of their tests, that they will find the power that comes from giving you praise in the midst of the times that make them feel like they're alone. But Lord God, let the power of praise pierce the darkness of the night and help them to know that everything is going to be all right, that you're going to work it out. And so, Lord God, I bless your name right now, that praise will bring a change upon their lives. Praise will bring a change within their hearts. Praise will bring a change even in their atmosphere. Oh God, in their environment, I praise you right now for a new season, even over our young people and through them right now, Lord. I know, oh Father, that things have been difficult and times have been trying, but Lord God, I declare and decree a new season over them right now. Oh God, even though some of them may not even be on the line tonight, but we pray over them right now, Father, because we will pray protection over the generation to come. We'll pray protection over the generation that's coming up. We pray protection over that generation right now. And the devil is alive
liar. He cannot have our children. He cannot have our grandchildren. Lord God, he cannot have our nieces and our nephews. We declare and decree tonight in the matchless name of Jesus, and we release the power of praise even over our young people. We release a power of praise tonight on this line. Oh God, somebody's going through something right now, something that's difficult, something that's stressful, something that's even designed to break them. But Lord God, tonight in the name of Jesus, we will bless the Lord at all times. And your praise shall be continuously in our mouth. Our soul shall make her boast in you, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. We take the posture to glorify you with our hands lifted up, with our mouth filled with praise. Lord God, we're not going to wait for circumstances to change. We want you to change us. God, we're not going to expect and wait that change happens around us. We are looking for change to happen within us. Hallelujah. And because faith has a language, we declare and decree over ourselves that we are who you say we are. We can do what you say we can do. Oh, God, hey, Anaboshanda, we have what you say we have. We speak it over ourselves. We speak it over our families. We speak it over our nation. Lord God, there is a nation rising up to give you praise. Abraham was the father of faith. And tonight, Lord God, we believe that the nation is growing even now. We thank you for the soul that was baptized last week. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord God, for the souls that are about to come. We praise your name tonight with ecstatic joy, with exuberance, Lord God, with passion. We praise you because a nation is rising up. Lord God, we declare and decree that even through the work that you've given us, oh God, that the tragedy of life is not death, but to live life without purpose. And so tonight we declare and decree purpose in you. Hallelujah. You saved us with a purpose. You delivered us with a purpose. You even have thoughts toward us. Hey, God, that are good thoughts and not evil thoughts to bring us to an expected end. And so right now over this congregation, oh, so right now over every listener, we declare a new season. Tonight it changes. Tonight starts a new day. Tonight starts a new chapter. Hey, God, some may even say tonight starts a new book. Hey, glory to God. And so tonight we come with praise. Tonight we come in prayer. And by the same token of the power that was manifested when Paul and Silas prayed, Lord God, let that power be revealed tonight. Somebody has a chain that needs to be broken. Somebody has a yoke that needs to be destroyed. Somebody is in a prison that they need to be free from. By the power of the Holy Ghost, let it be so tonight. Oh God, we pray for peace. We pray for joy. We pray for calm. We pray, Lord God, that faith would increase in your people as the word has been shared, as the word has gone forth. I thank you for revelation. I thank you, Lord God, for the spirit of faith that is on the line right now. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I thank you for the spirit of revelation, hey, that the eyes of our understanding can be enlightened. I thank you for the increase. I thank you for the increase, increase in wisdom, increase in knowledge, increase in faith, increase in love, increase in patience, increase in joy. Hey, I thank you, Lord, that you're working things out in our hearts. You're working things out in our lives. Lord God, you caused us to be blessed by the Holy Spirit. Yes, cause us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And tonight, Lord, I pray over this precious body that they will hold fast to the faith that even Abraham possessed, where he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. Hey, God, I thank you tonight, giving glory. He was strong, giving glory. Strong, giving glory. We're giving glory right now. We're giving glory. We're strengthened as we give you glory. We're strengthened as we give you praise. Our faith is growing. Our hope is growing. Our trust is growing. Hey, 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 hey. Ah, God, it's about to get fat up in here. Hey, thank you for the fatness that comes upon us as we increase in the things of God. And so tonight, I pray this prayer over every person listening, Lord God, that we would be, through your word, fully persuaded that what you have promised, that you're able also to perform. Oh God, we declare and decree over this people tonight, which you put in our spirit to share with them on Sunday, God will do it. And so we declare, God will do it. We speak it over this crowd. God will do it. We speak it over this circumstance. God will do it. Faithful is he that have called us, who also will do it. Lord God, bless these precious hearts. Let your word take root, deep root within their spirit. Help them to stand fast on the promises that you have made, and let their faith ever increase as they embrace the word of God, your word, Lord God. And so tonight, we commit these precious souls into your hands, thanking you that you have taught us that faith has a language. Hey, God, and we speak it and declare it boldly, unashamedly, unreservedly, unquestionably, ubiquitously. We declare and decree that you have the final say in everything. And so now, O God, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.